heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
The way I would equate this moment to is probably one of those feature thriller films, although many of us don't really do Hollywood anymore. But if we did in the day and we were watching one of those thriller films and, you know, it's like it's at that moment where you kind of know something's going to happen. You're probably waiting for the other shoe to drop. And you know that it's not all what it is right now. There's still, well, missing pieces to the story. It's not all been written. But with that, there's an edge. We're all sort of on edge right now. Now, let's face it, people. I mean, this has been one strange year, if there ever has been one. 2020, it really is remarkable what this country has gone through and what all of you have been through, all Americans have been through. So much. This past year, I mean, it's beyond anything we could imagine, you know, really and truly. And my heart goes out to all of you, quite frankly. You know, 2020 was supposed to be a really interesting, special kind of year. But I'll tell you, somebody didn't tell the unruly gods all of that, did they now? And they are wreaking havoc on this great nation. We start the year, of course, with this COVID coming in. It was pretty amazing, actually. Again, it's like we got to the part of the story last November where things were really looking pretty good economically. The president was in control of things, making all the right decisions for, well, for America, for Americans, for an America First agenda. Finally, after 30 years of having clowns run the program in the last three decades, we finally got to a point where we weren't really building a globalist, environmental, galactical sort of, you know, environment for all of us. We finally were speaking about what was right for us, get out of some of these big deals and pushing our money overseas all the time and gutting out our manufacturing and our energy and becoming a slave to the world, really is what it was. I said to you yesterday, we'd become the world's bitch. I mean, that's really what it is. I know that doesn't sound, there is no other way to put that. It is what it is. You don't like it, it can't help you. But that's what we were, it's what we've been. And now we see what's happening now with this, you know, this, whatever you want to call it, this scam of an election. Where did they want to go? You know, right back to the rabbit hole again. They sort of have frequent flyer miles with Alice down there in the Wonderland place, you know? And that's exactly where they're going with the cast of characters. And I love the one with czars. Love it when we bring czars back. You know, John Kerry, czar. Czar of the galactical climate environment. He's going to change the universal winds of how they blow in from other planets. Somehow these people are on some sort of special crack. I'm not quite sure what it is, people. But it really rattles my mind. You know, but listen, back last November, I think we were all feeling pretty good. I reference last November all the time because that's before we all found out about the handy dandy virus, you know. It's before we all knew that was coming at us. And of course, we'd been through quite a bit last year with China through all these trade deals. And we thought, you know, we might finally have them somewhere. Well, you can never trust the Chinese, can you now? And Xi Jinping and that group there. Just look at what they do to their own people. I mean, if that's any recipe for disaster, or if that tells you what they how much they truly care about you out here, right? Really, yeah. So you know, we were at that moment, and then the virus comes in, and then you know, and again, it's important we dial this back just slightly. But listen, remember last February, and you know, the president does this very uncharacteristic, but very important decision. Well, and by the way, this was called a presidential decision. This was like a big deal. You're going to do what? You're going to close the travel down from China. And then we're going to do it from Europe as well. Well, about everybody had a heart attack, you know, including, of course, the typical Democrats and the Republicans. But you can't do that, Mr. President. You're a damn xenophobe. What's the matter with you? And of course, the Biden guy there, Joe, Joe Buyback Biden, you know, he was also on that page, of course, as well, you know, called him a xenophobe. And of course, he denies it after the fact. He didn't remember what the hell he did yesterday, what he had for breakfast, let alone what he said earlier in the year. Right. But that was it. He said, I didn't say that. What are you talking about? And of course, you know, there is no follow up with any of this. They gets a pass on anything he says or doesn't say. They don't even want to hear from him, actually. Just stay covered up. They could have ran Pinocchio in here, you know. I mean, really, anybody could have run at this point. The media really didn't care who was running. God only knows how many deaths he prevented, because had that thing hit like a shock that it could have hit at that moment, with all the travel coming in, it would probably would have decimated, I don't know how many more. I mean, they were talking some pretty big numbers, well over a couple of million. There were talks of many, many, many more million than that. But, you know, again, they've used this to politicize everything to sort of start controlling the people. And that's really where it started. And then now you got to remember, you got all these little Marxist mayors and these little governors that are also are high on that special brand of crack, you know. And they're all like, you know, really over the cuckoo's nest, these people are. Now they use the handy dandy virus to really do all kinds of things and lock people down and do what they wanted to do. Lock the dog park down in your communities. And of course, it even got to the point where they took the hoops off the basketball courts. How do you like that? That's just to really rub it into your face a minute. We're even going to take the hoop off the court. That way, you bring a ball out to the court, you got nothing to throw at. I mean, that's how sick it got. How crazy is that stuff, you know? You know, march in order, wear your mask, behave yourself, in and out, do what we need to do, no more than this, distance yourself, behave yourself, one, two, march, left, right, left. And that's really what it became. And it was like the Pied Piper moment, you know, and everybody falls into line. And, you know, because really, truth be told, there are a lot of followers out there following these crazy politicians, which are the people they've elected to work for them that then tell them what to do, because they forget that they're the boss, the people, we the people run the program. But we the people don't remember that. So we let these people we hire to do the job, we're their boss, but it's a weird setup, as I say to you all the time, but they tell us what to do. And we say, okay, Massa, we got it. We do what you want, you know. Doesn't make much sense to me, but somehow this whole thing is screwed up backwards, you know. So from there, they take the COVID thing and they run wild with that all year long. And they do all kinds of things, stripping rights and getting everybody to wear these masks. And they're brainwashing the people. And it's insanity, people. I mean, you got people, you see them all the time. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. They're driving in cars by themselves wearing a mask. I mean, I think they think the mask is going to fall down from the heavens into the roof of the car and they're going to just blow up inside their cars and somehow this little piece of fabric or something is going to save them. And then you see people out there walking and jogging and exercising on the roads wearing a mask. And I it makes me just about want to vomit when I see it. And I tell them, you know, I have to say to myself at that point when they have it, Malcolm, mind your own business. Shut up. Escape, shut up. Don't even go there, man. Mr. Out Loud, be quiet and just do your business and move along. And I just seen someone yesterday, same thing, this older man. Feel bad. Every day he's walking, he's got a mask on. Nobody's around him. I'm not sure what he's protecting himself from or what he thinks, but that is what you call brainwashing. That is just total, total brainwashing. And so from there, then we get into the throes of this election. We always knew it was going to be a very weird election, one like we hadn't seen before. And then we seen they started to change the rules. You remember that now, right? And we're going to just send everybody and their brother a ballot. We'll send them to funeral homes. We'll give them to the dog parks, anybody else who wants them. And just send it. But that's always been the Democrat creed. That's always been their program. Let illegals vote. Let people, anybody vote. Dead people. It doesn't matter. Just vote. And we'll send you a check later. You know, that's how they stay in power. That's the only way they stay in power, people. That's how the far left operate, you know. But these are all phases we've gone through. We've gone through all these phases. And now here we are here after a post-election. And it's like we still really, and we're in a free fall. We're in a free fall, and we kind of, it's a surreal moment. And I'm talking to people all the time. And people can't believe it. Truthfully, like you out there, probably people are pinching themselves and thinking, I just can't believe this. Not only can they make no sense of it, but they almost can't believe it's happening. And so then they kind of shut it off a little while and go back to sleep or, you know, whatever. It is that kind of a thing, actually, people. And now we're at the point, you know what I would say to you? We are a stunned nation. We are totally stunned. I mean, we don't even know what hit us at this point. We know we're sort of rotten out from the inside. We're sort of being taken over. We're sort of right at the cross. We know it doesn't feel right, doesn't feel good. We know all of that, man. This is not business as usual, politics as usual, election as usual. This is none of that stuff, people. This is the crazy time now. Listen, I think the Democrat Party was at its end. I think it's right close to the very near end of its existence. And I think it knew it. It absolutely knew it, people. And see, when that happens, you pull out all the stops. There is nothing you won't do at that point. It's like anything, people. As I said the other day, it's like if you're going to lose the medal, you're in an Olympic race, you go for it. What the hell you got to lose? You just go for it. You make the leap. Now, sometimes you pull that leap off and you win the medal. Sometimes you don't deserve it either. I think right now the Socialist, Communist, Marxist, Democrat Party of America is making that leap. They are trying to secure the medal, America. They're trying to take it over from the inside out, you see? Exactly what we've been warning about for years that some people thought was just a fairy tale. But sadly, it's no fairy tale now. And I let me tell you right now, we don't need to be, these are not theories. I get messages in here every day from smart people, intellects, people who know what are going on. These are not the kind of people that tune into the Alex Jones channel. These are people who understand the stakes. And you know what? The connecting point is these people are all highly concerned. They feel like it is time to take a stand. It is time to do something. But then they question, what do we do and who takes the first shot? Is this another Lexington Concord moment in our country? Who takes the first shot? What happens? And will somebody be there to back them up? A military guy you had a conversation with early this morning asked me that same question. Will they be behind the guy who takes the first shot or not? Oh, that's drawing some lines in the sand now, isn't it, huh? I know this sounds pretty crazy like stuff. I get it, people. And I don't do the special brand of crack they're on, so you're hearing it real from me. And it's not a conversation. These conversations are never warm and fuzzy. They don't make you feel good. It really is a we the people event. It's not one person. Trump can't do it himself. You know, and people don't understand that. Listen, this man has fought very hard. I absolutely support this president's agenda and what he has done with our nation. You know that already. I don't hide that. I don't make apologies for that. I believe in America with all my heart. I believe in this Constitution. I believe in the American people. I believe in American exceptionalism. So having said all of that, this stunned nation better figure out quickly what it's going to do, as the pot now is a bit boiling here and it is hot and uncomfortable in the room. We'll pause a moment and we'll be back with somebody who also has a view and an understanding of these phases and just how hot, piping hot, that is, that the pot is at this very moment. We'll rejoin you on the Voice of a Nation in just a moment. Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the Vision of the Voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
And it is a really a moment. It is a thriller film of the kind we've never seen before like this, because it is real life, sadly. And you can't turn this one off, and you can't leave the theater either, people. So let's get with it and talk about this stunned nation and the phases we're in and have a real conversation. We'll do that with Brian Gold is here. Brian served in the U.S. Army and U.S. Special Forces for over three decades. He's a military hero, now works with the Department of Defense. He's Brian is a thinker, is a very good friend, someone I've known for many years, but also thinks outside of the lines a little bit in a very reasonable way and looks at where we're at. And we have a lot of guys like that around on the platform that are just super smart to really can step back and understand where the stakes are. So as a society, we have been at each other's throats, Brian. We've had this whole indoctrination into China viruses and what to do or what not to do. And people are very weird. There's a lot of oddness out there. We can all feel and sense that. But more than that, they appear to be stealing the country we love right in broad daylight, right in front of us. This is the way most people describe it to me. And they're not quite sure what really is going on. There have been a series of phases now that have happened. Nobody would have predicted probably that Trump would have lost this one. And nobody could have predicted that Joe Biden would get 80 million votes. I mean, the most ever in the history of our nation. And if that was anywhere close to true, Brian, he would have invented a whole new way to run for president. They may never leave their basement again or ever answer a question. I mean, it stretches the imagination that he could win anything at that point. What do you think was behind all that? Sincerely, we haven't spoke about this since the election. What do you think was behind all that? And I put my fingers up in quotes, those 80 million votes.
Well, Malcolm, thanks again for having me on. I think Joe Biden is the candidate that literally have been a blank spot on the ballot and just said, fill in name here. He brings nothing to the table. It was the machine that's been growing for the plus 15 years that you and I have known each other, and it's been that long that you and I have been talking about this. But it was a machine that's been growing slowly, and as these operations often do, just gaining more and more power in the background. And because Americans generally don't pay attention to their politics, they generally go through life with their blinders on. This is what grew when you're not involved in your politics, you're not involved in the running of your country, this is what autopilot looks like. And you use a great analogy with the movie analogy. This is really the perfect storm movie. And this is the point where George Clooney goes, wow, I really screwed up and I'm about ready to lose it. Now, can we pull ourselves out of it? That's a question that probably a couple dozen other civilizations have asked themselves right before they crumbled. And that's where we're at right now. Can we pull ourselves out? I think it's highly unlikely at this point. I think things will get much, much worse before they get better. But this is what happens. And you and I had this conversation, I think back when Hillary Clinton was first running for Senate, we talked about this. Yeah. To start a good insurgency, to start a good resistance against an operational country, the first thing you have to do is convince people that the government doesn't represent them. And that's what the Democrats have been doing for almost 20 years. They're trying to say the government no longer represents you. We do. So the entirety of the government doesn't represent you. Just our party, just our few people in the party, the Chuck Schumers, the Nancy Pelosi's, the Hillary Clinton's, and now the Joe Biden's. We represent you. We know what's best for you. Nobody else does. And they've done a really good job of that. They've turned it to a race war. They've turned it into an economics war. They've turned it into a social justice war. They've convinced all of those little groups of people out there that your government doesn't represent you longer, whether it's BLM, whether it's the LGBTQ community, your government doesn't represent you any longer. Only we do. And that's really the first step to this. And they've done a phenomenal job of it. Mm-hmm. And the last year, and you brought it up several times in your monologue, which were perfect. the riots, the craziness. We really explained to the American people in this year the really the second phase of this, which is the government can't or won't protect you. You know, all those stores that got burnt, all those people's property got destroyed. The police just literally stood by and watched while we were being chastised and being threatened now with being fined and imprisoned for not wearing a mask or having your family over for Thanksgiving or for Christmas or whatever. You know, they were out riding in the streets and literally walking by in groups of hundreds in front of the police with no recourse. The government can't or won't protect you.
Now, Brian, that second phase was unbelievable that you speak about. Let's stay there a moment here. The second phase, you know, as all that was going on, when you say in the second phase, your government cannot or will not protect you. While that was happening, right? And we kind of, you know, I thought that that for sure would be a recipe that would bring in a law and order president without a doubt. I mean, he'd get like 150 million votes. I mean, who the hell wants a country from the side that they were selling, which was unbelievable with these mayors and governors that were standing down. And of course, a lot of people were saying that the president should have right at that point initiated the Insurrection Act of 1807. He should have done it immediately. But of course, hindsight is always good, because I'm sure the president would have done a couple of other things in hindsight. I want to talk to you about those actually today. So that phase two was a moment where you think, well, there's no way the president loses as a law and order president. And we knew what the other side was selling. Why do you think any part of America didn't see that message in the way that it was intended?
Because of the way it was set up. It was set up perfectly. You have to give a lot of credit to the opposition. They're not dummies. They're brilliant people, academically, yeah, Technically. They used the Republican Party's own platform against them. The Republican Party, the conservative platform, has always been smaller government, more power to the states, less intrusion. And they used that. And they used it beautifully. They said, hey, aren't you the people who believe you shouldn't be reaching down and telling a state or a county or a city how to do its business? Hasn't that what they've been setting up for how long now with sanctuary cities? They've proven that in court they can get away with it. And that was the hesitation. They've won that. They got marijuana, you know, to come on the legal list for a state, even though federally it's still illegal. They got sanctuary cities that literally say, we don't have to, and by penalty, you will not work with federal authorities in a city and in a state, in the case of California. There was no recourse. The Conservative Party really sat on their laurels when all that was going on and really just kind of sat on the sidelines and watched. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for the senators and congressmen and Lindsey Graham and Chuck McConnell, but they were literally asleep at the wheel. And they did not back the president until it was too late. They did not back the president until...
Well, they wanted to see which way the political winds were blowing first.
Well, of course, they're opportunists, yeah. Malcolm. They're opportunists. They're scumbags. I'm sorry. You know, they're the typical scumbag opportunists who will sit there and watch people suffer to see where I make my dime at. And it's horrible to watch. You know, when California went to its first sanctuary city, they should have said, okay, all federal employees, pack up your offices. We're leaving. Mm-hmm. Everyone. The only person left in California right now from a federal employee should be the postman. And that's it, because we swore we'd always deliver the mail. Other than that, there shouldn't be a DEA, not an attorney general, not an FBI agent, not a U.S. Marshal, not one federal employee. They should have shut down Coronado. They should have shut down Fort Irwin and said, you know, I would love to have an NTC. It'd be great for Iowa's economy to have a major military base in their state. They really would have benefited from that. Coronado, we'll find you another port. We'll put you in Texas. We'll put you in Florida. We'll get you another pathway to the Pacific Ocean, but you're leaving. We'll put you in Alaska. I don't care. But as soon as California said no more federal government, the federal government should have said, well, no more California. And that would have crushed their economy. And they'd had to go, I guess that doesn't work. But we didn't have anyone advising the president who was willing to take those kind of measures to prevent this cataclysm that's happened. Yeah, and that's exactly where we're at right now. They tested the waters. They're awesome at it. They go through, they do little test shots, just like last year with the mail-in ballots. They had a bunch of, you know, dozens of little court cases across the country. And they went, hey, we can win this legally. We got it. And then they used the pandemic to really springboard it. They were still going to do it, but they used the pandemic to make everybody afraid to vote.
Yeah.
It was beautifully played.
You know, I did a program, somewhere in the last many days, I lose track here, but it really was about I said, we really are not the United States of America. Anyways, that is a blessed joke. And why do we call ourselves that? We really need to rechange our name and rebrand ourselves as the divided states of America, basically, is where we're at. Now, you just mentioned, we talked about that phase two, but the law enforcement, I mean, that was genius how they pulled that off, because, and you're so right, they are brilliant. They know what they're doing. That is the special brand I said of drug they're on, but they know what they're doing. You got the law enforcement component and all of that disengagement between the federal and the states. You got the ICE agents. Absolutely right. You got the drug laws, again, against the law federally. But yeah, the states are running wild. Do what the hell you want. Let it all hang out. Get high. Get on the road. Deaths are going up. It's OK. We're only worried about COVID deaths, but we're not worried about the rest of the deaths. That's OK, because we can't control you with that. We can let you be freewheeling, but we can control you with the rest. And then on top of that, Brian, you have the let me bring it to a crescendo moment here, is the elections. That's the other thing I was telling listeners the other day about, is then we have all these states with all these different rules. And I said, this is insanity. And we got it on the cyber program, so anybody can come in and start messing with us and screwing with us, which is what they're going to do. They're going to do it more and more and more. And you got all these fake headshots going on with ways they're ripping us off with the election. But every state's got a different set of rules. And you don't even know what the hell the rules are as they get to the state courts, which are really run by those states, which are really as political as anything else is until you get outside of that realm. We got to take our voting seriously and the elections. And we got to have one set of rules. And the way we have is some, we got to be united in some way in this country, or we might as well just break up entirely and say we're divorced. And whether we use the Mason-Dixon line or whether we use the four squares or however you want to cut the country up. But I mean, you know, then you got the elections, Brian. So now if you take all those things, considering law enforcement, ICE agents, drug laws, elections, you know, really the message at this moment, Brian, is we are in some serious, serious shit at the moment. I mean, this country does not, this is not representative of anything that makes sense. And I don't know, Brian, I mean, when you say, is it too late, kind of hard to convince. I don't know how we turn all that back, but this is pretty bad recipe, isn't it?
Oh, it's a horrible recipe. I mean, for what we wanted the United States to become one day, we veered off on that. and we've had this discussion too about morality and about guilt and things like that. And those are things that always guided our country, was, you know, having a sense of morals, you know, taking our morals from a Judeo-Christian type of doctrine. And we, of course, declared war on religion under the Obama administration, you know, tremendously. So we really desensitized people to even being allowed to speak that in public now. And that's also been the brilliance of the branding that you talked about. The Democrats and the liberals are phenomenal branders. They get their message out not only on their positive notes, but then they make it almost a moral or social crime to discuss any opposition to those views. And they have gotten their population so riled up that if you speak openly in public against everything, and you have to buy their whole bag, you can't buy pieces like in Republicans. You have to buy the whole bag. If you don't, you might not have a job. Your kids might not be welcome in school. You might not get your lease renewed. And that has been a ploy of theirs that has worked endlessly. And Republicans have found no energy to counter that whatsoever. And it's just been watching Republicans and conservatives sit on the sidelines and complain about how many touchdowns the other team has, but has nothing but points on the board themselves. Nothing. Absolutely zero. There have been almost zero programs. President Trump has run programs. The Republican Party has been sitting back because, in the end of the day, if it's business back as usual, like under the Clinton administration, the Bush administration, the Obama administration, they're back to being in charge of at least something, and they're going to make money. And so they're kind of happy with that. You know, at the end of the day, they're like, well, you know, I'm going to survive it. There's poor schmucks down there in the fields aren't going to survive it, but – you know, I'm good, right? You know, the coal miners, West Virginia, well, they're used to living a crappy life. That's not a problem to them. They can do that all day long. They don't care. But what you got, the people up top, they're going to, you know, the hedge fund guys, you know, the guys like our new national security advisor, who's the guy who wrote the Iran deal, you know, the Kerry's, you know, who saw it through, they're on top. Mitch McConnell's not going to die poor, and neither is Lindsey Graham.
You mean these are the people you're saying that if the Biden presidency goes through?
You know, in some of these cases, Malcolm, they've been surviving and thriving, fighting against Trump the entire time. Mm-hmm. The Mitt Romney's, you know, Mitt Romney's not going to, you know, suffer. The only time Mitt Romney gets any kind of positive note of the conservatives is when people that are attached to his family in Mexico get butchered. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when that started going away, then all that news went away from it. Yeah. I read the reports every week of what goes on in Mexico, Malcolm. Right. If people knew what was going on in Mexico, they would make that wall about 15 feet higher and about 6 foot thicker. Mm. What they've done down there is what's coming to America. It's coming to a station near you. Those people are brutal down there. Yeah. And when those cartels get full grip up here, because there's no border, because there's no rules, there's no one there on the border to stop them, because ICE will be gone. You know, the Border Patrol will be gone.
Right, right. They're already doing it. They're here. Oh, yeah. They have jurisdictions in the United States already.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, yeah. And now it's just about building it out and corruption. And then you get all these gangs. And it really becomes a lawless environment, Brian. Back to the phase two. Very interesting. So there's a few questions I want to ponder here as we take a pause here. We're speaking of Brian Gould, and they are this. I'm hearing a lot of talk about the Great Reset. I want to talk to you about the Great Reset. I want to talk to you about phase three, where we're at right now, what that phase three looks like. And a lot of the chit-chat that's happening right now that is really something to question as the heat gets turned up higher and higher. We'll take a quick pause. We'll be back with more Voice of a Nation in just a moment.
Listen to Malcolm, the Voice of a Nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Let's talk about where we are currently right now in a couple of ways, Brian. First of all, let's explain phase three, what's happening right now. And also, when you just mentioned some of the appointees that the Biden people are talking about here, but I want to get your feelings too on what you think where President Trump is right now, what happens next there, and is it a foregone conclusion in your heart, in your mind, or is there any chance that you see that some of that evidence gets out to the light of day and this thing can be turned over? But talk about phase three on that point there, please.
Yeah, no problem, Malcolm. Well, the phase three, which we've seen in several larger civilizations and probably some of the biggest atrocities we've witnessed in history, phase three is when you convince a very strong minority. It has to be a very strong minority. It can't be any minority. I mean that by a group, not a majority of the population, but a strong majority, that their opposition is less than human. That allows for them to alleviate any kind of guilt from what they do. If you can convince someone, well, they're not human, so what you do to them really doesn't count, it's not a moral problem, then you can alleviate guilt from them. And once you alleviate guilt from someone for doing something horrible, well, that's all that keeps us in check. It's all that stops us from being the animals. And once you get that, it's amazingly horrid what humans have done to each other up until present day. I mean, if you look at things that happened in medieval times, the German kind of blows off as we're not like that anymore. Well, then you fast forward to World War II. You know, what the Nazis did to the Jews. They convinced a young population that the Jews were less than human, and their very existence posed a danger to you. So therefore, it's okay to exterminate them. It's okay to butcher them. It's okay to do horrific things that you wouldn't do to a cow or a dog or to a deer or anything else. It's okay. They're less than human. And their existence poses a
Brian, they're kind of doing that right now with white privilege, aren't they?
Exactly. Exactly, Malcolm. They're convincing people that they're no longer human. They're no longer worthy of the human moniker. And therefore, what you do to them is okay. You can take their property. You can punish them. You can throw stones at them. You can punch them. And eventually, you can kill them and you can burn them out of their homes. We've seen that all over. You know, South America has these problems now. They've convinced them this. We looked back towards the late 90s and early 2000s in Kosovo. You know, they convinced each other that each side wasn't human. And they did horrific things to each other. Africa in the same time problem, the same time frame, excuse me. Rwanda. I mean, people literally drove down the streets coming out of Rwanda and hung off of trucks and macheted men, women, and children walking down the road trying to escape the violence. Why? They weren't human. That's the way they're less than human, and their existence poses a threat. And we're seeing that right now in America. You know, the white privilege, the racial tension. You've oppressed me. It's inhumane. It's inhuman what you've done to me.
Brian, what you laid out right here, I want to say to you, one of the big points I always bring up on this program, and I think you would agree with this, but what we really are talking about here is the fight of good versus evil. And it's been on the planet here from day one. It's going to always be on the planet. And it's how we either we fight back and how we handle the situation. But you bring up some really great points historically to bringing us to present day. And like a lot of people think like it's not a big deal, but it is. But it really is good and evil, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, and right now, good might not be winning, which has happened in history. The Spanish Inquisition would be a great example of that.
Right.
The church was considered to be a good institution. But it went astray. It was taken over by just absolute radicals and did horrific things to its own parishioners. And that's what really people understand. A lot of the people that were tortured and murdered during the Spanish Inquisition were from the church. So they hunted and killed their own. If they caught stray people out there, they were like shooting dogs. That's fine. But they did that to their own people. And you see it here in the United States. Black-on-black crime is at an all-time high. You see the Hispanic gangs butchering other Hispanic gangs. Those are the same people. And they've seen it as okay. They're less than human. They're a threat to my existence. Therefore, butcher them. I don't care. And that's really where we're headed at a much more national scale. Because you're right. The white privilege movement really is a movement to dehumanize a set of people in the United States to make it okay to take their property. Bernie Sanders has talked about property confiscation, about nationalizing utilities, about taking over certain parts of the civilian sector. That's communism. Another tool that communism used was dehumanizing the enemy. I mean, they did butcher the entire Romanov family, men, women, children, and servants, all in one night. You know, 5 and 6 year old kids butchered and thrown in a hole. You do that when you dehumanize someone. This wasn't a special kill squad or hit squad. These were normal people who did this. These are people who have families. They have children. They have grandchildren. But when you remove that guilt from them and that moral ambiguity to do whatever you need to do to survive, it's horrific, Malcolm. I've unfortunately seen that side of humanity more often than I care to say, and it's horrific to watch a population turn on itself. It's horrific.
And that's what's happening right now. And you can feel it. That's kind of the weirdness of the phase that we seem to be driving into right now. And it's encapsulated, Brian, by the lawlessness that we've seen throughout 2020. I mean, you know, listen, like I said, Americans have been through an awful lot this year. It's been a year of unbelievable in the record books compared to last November to where we are today. This year has been really crucifying Americans here. And the lawlessness was just on top of everything else and the arrogance of the political leaders. Where do you think this election stands right now at the moment here I'm hearing a lot of signs. I'm getting a lot of information in here. The president is not going to let up. He's saying, what does your heart tell you where we're at?
Well, the factual statistical models will tell you that Biden will be president. that Trump doesn't win. I stopped believing those in the Republican primary 4 years ago when Trump won, because everyone said the same thing. You know, Trump will never win. And next thing you know, he's taking the presidency. Right. I think if anyone can do it, President Trump can. I do have to say, though, I put his chances at less than 30%. Trump's proven that he can do things that normal presidents have not been able to accomplish. That's right. That's right. And he really has done some great things for the country. I mean, the unemployment, you know, and all those great things we talk about all the time that people have really tried to push to the side. I mean, he did just get three Arab countries to fly into Israel, which no one thought would ever happen in my lifetime.
That's right.
You know, but that's all been pushed aside because the liberals and the progressives have done a great job at controlling the flow of the media and flow of information, which goes back to your earlier point, why they want people to stay at home, mm-hmm. why they want people to not go out and work and not go to school, because the only way you'll get your information then is by the internet or by the TV, and they control most of that. So,
well, they control all of it. And they're going back to all those agreements, the Iran agreements, the Paris agreement. They're going back to all these big globalist agreements, United Nations, WHO, World Health, all of them. You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, without doubt. Oh, they'll jump right back in bed with the same devils we got out of. Roger. And this is the same models that China and Russia have used throughout their history to suppress their people. They didn't start off that way, but it's how they've become. And it's very effective. And so, you know, I have to say the liberals learned a good lesson from the Chinese and the Russians, who they typically have been in bed with since the beginning. So,
yeah. Brian, you know, it's interesting the way you just say that, too. And, you know, Trump, you remember all the times he would say, you're going to get tired of winning, America. Do you remember that? You know, winning, yes. Winning, win. That became sort of a metaphor underneath the whole thing. And of course, that would irritate the left to no end. They would like, they would scoff and slam their feet down and walk away. Yeah, really, though, they say, you SOB. And what do you mean winning? Rawr. You know, make America great again. Rawr. You know, what the hell are you talking about? Rawr. You know, and all that was going on, Brian. Remember that, right? Now, we're talking, you know, as you know, right now, we're at a pivotal historic moment in the nation like we've never been. We've never been through this in our lives, have we, Brian?
No, we have not. Not to this level. No.
No. I mean, this is either make it or break it, isn't it?
It really is. And this is going to set the tone for the next several elections. That's what the scary part is. if Trump doesn't pull this off, this is our future for the next generation or two. This is our future, a downward decline.
You're convinced of that, right? You're convinced of that.
I think, Malcolm, it's not this time with President Biden becoming the actual president. Then Trump will be gone in 4 years. I don't know that the Republicans can pull two rabbits out of a hat and have that kind of magic. So the next president will be at best mediocre, or at worst, more progressive than Joe Biden. It will be a Beto O'Rourke or AOC clone that can actually energize the country and their party to come out and do what they tried to do this time.
Yeah.
So if it's not this president, it will be the next.
Well, the cancer is in Congress right now. You see the squad people, AOC and the rest of them, they've expanded that now. They've added a whole host of other players in there like them. And that's sort of a cancer in our Congress now, isn't it, Brian?
Well, it's a great analogy, Malcolm, because what does cancer do? It weakens useful organs. Mm-hmm. So not only are they rotten and deceitful and un-American, they've weakened through their actions, the people out there that actually can do some good, be they Republican or Democrat, you know, Jim Jordan's and guys like that. And then the few people that actually have a spine in the Senate, which are hard to find at times, you know, it actually really weakens the entire organ. So Congress does not function well when you have those cancers in them. So not only do you have to get rid of them, then you have to make the body healthy again. And that in itself takes time. Eric Swalwell and the Adam Schiffs and those types of cancers have really done so much to weaken Congress that if they were to go away tomorrow, Congress would not be healthy. It would just be better, but not healthy yet.
Yeah.
And that's what we've got to work to. We got to stop this race for mediocrity. That's why what you said a little while ago is so important. You know, Trump says we're going to get tired of winning. Well, the Democrats are in a race to mediocrity. That's their objective. We just want to be mediocre. And it's like, how do you even start a race like that?
Yeah, that was the Obama doctrine. That was the whole Obama doctrine. Yeah, that was it right there. You know, it's really interesting, the analogies we're speaking about. And with this. You know, listen, I want to talk about this Great Reset they keep talking about. I'm hearing it come up a lot, and I don't know what you've heard about it or not. I'm reading off of one message here from one of our listeners, a leaked strategic plan for world communism. Listen to this. Plandemic, strict lockdowns, release new COVID-21, basic income, stop travel, military checkpoints, world debt reset. Now, this stuff sounds like the cuckoo's nest here, like, you know, it's a bad horror flick. I really didn't get to see that one, actually. And the overarching message on this one is, when you start talking this way, people think you just turned the channel on your show, and all of a sudden you are talking to, you know, the far out, you know, the kind of the, I always use that as a metaphor, the Alex Jones sort of theories, you know, whatever they are. And I don't mean to diss him. I'm sure he's done some fine work. I don't really know. I don't really follow him, but I, you know what I mean? And but here's the overarching message on this from this listener. It says the global Great Reset intends to steal all those trillions in property by flat out taking it from each of us. Now, you commented on real estate a bit ago with Sanders and all their programs that Biden has sort of rubbed elbows with on all this. He's got some of that in his plans as well. What do you think about this Great Reset, and what is there to this? Are you buying that?
I am buying that. I think that's been the objective behind the scenes forever. What they need to do is solidify it so that it becomes legal, and they need the government to change course to do that. This is no different than, you know, a bunch of mega millionaires and mega billionaires and congressmen meeting in the middle of the night on Jekyll Island to walk away with what now became the Fed. This is exactly how they did it, which is one of the biggest cons that the rich have ever pulled on America, was coming up with the Fed. You know, a group of people who control the banking system, the government can't fire. I mean, you know, really, you know, this is exactly what we're looking for. We're looking at legalizing extortion, similar to the way Oregon's legalized cocaine. There's no way it's good for it, but they sure are going to be happy doing it. But the big power mongols, the big hedge fund guys, the oil billionaires, and now in them are the tech tycoons. Mm-hmm. They're all in this. They're the JP Morgans of our age, and they're looking to solidify their power any way they can. And that means making it legal. If the Congress passes a law, then the Supreme Court doesn't have anything to say about it, does it? Right, I mean, right. If that's the law of the land, then the Supreme Court goes, that's it.
We are at their mercy. We're at their mercy, yeah. I mean, again, it's a strange thing, Brian. The people we hire, who we are their boss, they end up bossing us. And we the people put up with it. I still can't understand how this works. It's the only industry where the CEO becomes the servant for the people we hire.
Exactly. That's exactly it. You know, we were supposed to have a representative government.
Yeah.
And I think we've changed who they represent. Now they represent money and not people.
Yeah.
And that's how we've decided to really value life. When we started putting values on life and insurance companies and what a human life's worth, now we have no ability to control that. It's now spun out of control. But they're trying to put that value on, well, one tech tycoon is worth 10,000 people, right?
That's right.
I mean,
how
many people would you kill to keep Jeff Bezos, you know, or Zuckerberg?
Yeah.
I mean, they're living pretty comfortably.
I'd rather not answer that if you don't mind. let me now ask you, I want to get your opinion on this. This is very weird. And I'm trying to remember back when Mattis was appointed in the Trump administration. I don't remember your words or comments. I know you had some, but let me say, so he's coming out and he's hoping that Joe Biden takes America first out of national security strategy, he says. OK, and he puts it out there. And of course, then President Trump put a tweet out on top of that report from one of the news groups. And he says this, the president says, that says it all about Mattis. Obama fired him. I should have fired him sooner. Did best work after he was gone. World's most overrated general! Here's the president, never to one to step off. And of course, And of course, you know, there's a piece of the population that, oh my God. And, you know, when the president started that initially, it was like this, it was like, oh my God, he's not being presidential. What the hell's the matter with that man? He can't do that. He's president. And then it's like, oh my, and they really never, they don't know what to do with it. And then it's like, you know, they want to take that feed away from him, the Twitter feed, which I heard threats that Twitter's going to kill that on the 21st of January. I've heard that as well. So he can't reach all those millions and millions of Americans. What do you think about that with this Mattis, and what is up with these people like Mattis and some of these generals? What are they part of the problem? Are you going to say, or the globalist thinkers? That's all it is, or is there more to the story?
The military general officer corps has become very globalist centric, and basically they like being in charge because as a globalist power, you'll always have to come back to them for answers. Mm-hmm. I have a tremendous amount of respect for General Mattis. When he was, before he became secretary, he was a tremendously well-respected general because of the way he acted every day. And basically, when he got appointed Secretary of Defense, you took all the things that make General Mattis a great person away from him every day. Mm-hmm. He liked to interact with the troops. He liked to be on the ground. He was the warrior poet. He liked to be with the troops. And that's where he got a lot of answers from. But when he became Secretary of Defense, he couldn't do that anymore. All those secretary positions are super isolated. They're dominated by advisors and, you know, undersecretaries, and they don't get to go down to the truth anymore. They only know what the bureaucrats in D.C. tell them, and that hurt Mattis. And then he made decisions that were based off that he had to stand next to because that's the man he is, and it got worse. But most of the time, the generals that do that kind of stuff out there, everybody says, oh, generals aren't supposed to be the politicians. You don't make it above 2-star without being a politician. That's just the facts of life. Mm. Your stuff goes through Congress. You have to know people. You have to know people within the government infrastructure, within Congress, to even make it there. So you haven't heard the last of the Petraeuses and the Crystals and all those people. And they are all very extremely liberal. Most of them were raised in liberal institutions. They came out of liberal universities.
Yeah.
The Naval Academy, very liberal. West Point, very liberal.
And as you say, everything is political. And thanks for reminding us of that, because you're 100% right. Politics invades everything, Brian. It invades all this stuff. And like you said, anything above two, well, you know it's political. They had to, kiss up a little bit to get there, more or less, and follow suit to whatever it is, you know.
More accurately, Malcolm, I think they have to compromise. And that's where they lose.
Sure.
They have to compromise some of their moral integrity.
But it depends who we're compromising with. If we're compromising with the devil or Satan or the communist program, right? I mean, come on. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That's what's happening, really. So in our last couple of moments here, we've drawn out a pretty strange vision here of this feature triple pack theater film we just put out there, Brian Gold. And I have to tell you, it's always try to leave people with a little bit of optimism. But we are becoming, at this moment of truth in the country, something we've been talking about, as you say, for a long time, for decades now. And here we are at this very moment. The cancer now is taking over the body, and the body now is going to have to make some decisions, whether it goes on life support or whether it kicks back. What do you think? What's the master plan?
Malcolm, I think we have to wait until January 21st to really start what our new phase is going to be as far as how we counter the craziness that's become the United States of America. When you mentioned Florida before and the Bush-Gore election, mm-hmm. I actually spoke recently with the Republican who was in charge of Florida when that happened. And he said, you know, at the end of the day, President Bush won by 527 votes. That's mm-hmm. where they were at when the Supreme Court said stop counting.
I remember.
So, you know, could it still be by the hair? Yes, it could still be. It could still be Trump. I would like for it to be that way. I think it's the better path for America right now. I don't think we need to take a hard left turn. If it doesn't, it will take 12 to 18 months for us to really see how ugly it's going to be. And maybe the Republicans will grow a spine and some organization and work on the midterms and flip the House. We're only, you know, a few seats away from that.
Right.
It's about all that will save us.
Right, right. You know, it very well said, Brian. And let me remind you and I and all listeners that oftentimes in our history, my friend, and in life itself, let me just remind all of us, please, there are times when we have to step back before we step forward. Sometimes we have to get to, and I don't like to say this, but there are those times where we have to get to an all-time new low. And then somehow we wake up. I don't know if the water gets just a little bit hotter before the frog jumps out, Brian, but we certainly are at that moment of time. And now just how hot does it get? Or are we going down the tubes here? And does that become just another point again of a lost great nation? You know, we believe that America was God's plan moving forward. This was what it was going to be all about. And yet, you know, we're at that dangerous moment of time, my fellow Americans, where we've got to make some decisions. So listen, it's been a great talk here, just a great talk with Brian Gold. And what a just a terrific time to catch up with him and get a perspective. You have to appreciate it out there, people, for what is, we're trying to accomplish here. And, you know, we got to talk truth. At the end of the day, we got to talk truth. Listen, there is so much happening here on the network. And just to remind you, I'm with you every day here at 6 and 10 on, of course, The Voice of a Nation. But do not forget our premium news magazine. We've just celebrated our 3-year anniversary on the weekends. Viewpoint this Sunday, 10 a.m. Sunday morning. And then Viewpoint Presents with my colleague Michael Johns is at 11 a.m. So join us every Sunday, 10 to noon, 2 hours there in the morning. And we replay later in the day as an encore, 6 to 8, every day on every weekend, every Sunday on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Goes to podcast just after 2 in the afternoon. We have a lot of special programming coming up. We have some special things we're going to be doing in the weeks and months ahead in a lot of areas that are going to impact your life and things to help you out there is the most important thing. We are here for you in every way that we can be. And listen, I'm open to any ideas, thoughts you have, or have a conversation. You can send it to liberty@americaoutloud.com. Thank you again, my fellow Americans, for being with me on the journey always. It's time to get involved and get loud.